Please rise and hear again the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. When the Pharisees gathered to Jesus with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And Jesus said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban,' that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." This is the gospel of the Lord, and this is our text. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I am sure that you've been in restrooms in various places that have signs that are posted saying employees are to wash their hands before returning to their positions or something like that. I find some of those signs ironic as they are in some of the worst kept restroom facilities I have ever seen. And I'm sometimes afraid to wash my hands there. Clean hands are important. We want to make sure that if we are shaking someone's hands, we are not opening ourselves up to anything that might cause us an infection. We use antibacterial soaps. Hand sanitizers are installed in a myriad of places for your protection. I find myself using them as I make hospital visits, as I do not want to share something unhealthy with those who are hospitalized, nor do I wish to take anything out of the room with me. You can get sanitizing wipes when you go into the grocery store so that you can wipe down the handle of the grocery cart so that you can have protection. But what about the kids that are constantly digging for worms? What about the farmer who is constantly shoveling manure? I remember the hands of my uncles who were farmers, and what wasn't smashed was stained by substances that they were in constant contact with. They lived long lives. I also remember one of the first things Mother asked me when we came in for supper after an afternoon of constant play was, "Have you washed your hands?" Well, she should have asked, how thoroughly did you wash your hands? And did most of the dirt go down the drain, or will I find it on the hand towel by the sink? There's another question that our text bids us ask this morning as we hear a discussion between Jesus and some Pharisees and scribes. Has your heart been cleansed lately? You won't find that on a sign in a restroom telling employees to do that before returning to their position. But it might make us think how we relate to co-workers, how we relate to other members of our family, how we relate to strangers, how we relate to our neighbors. 4 Sundays ago, as our gospel reading was from St. Mark's 6th chapter, we found Jesus sending his disciples on ahead of him in a boat to go back toward Gennesaret while he stayed to pray. We understood that after he had fed the great multitude with the loaves and the fish of a boy's lunch, he didn't want the disciples to get involved in the people trying to make him their bread king. So he sent them on ahead of him. And we saw that they struggled all night against the wind and the waves. And then we saw Jesus going out on the water, startling them and then stilling the wind and the waves to their amazement. Afterwards, they made their way to Gennesaret, where an excitement existed amongst the people as they ran throughout that whole region, bringing their sick to Jesus wherever he went, in the villages, towns, or countryside, begging him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. A genuine excitement about being able to encounter Jesus. This morning, we have an encounter between Jesus and the Pharisees. This is not new, and this encounter is significantly different than the ones by the people of the area who brought their sick to Jesus for healing. The Pharisees take notice of Jesus' disciples' failure to wash their hands. And they ask the Lord, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? Think of this encounter in this way. If you had the opportunity to speak with Jesus one-on-one, would you take that time to argue about the proper way to wash hands before eating? In this particular case, it may not have been that the disciples hadn't washed their hands, but they may not have washed them thoroughly enough to pass inspection by the Pharisees and the scribes. If you remember from earlier in Mark's gospel, when a paralytic was brought to Jesus for healing, and because of the great crowd at Peter's house, he was lowered through the roof to place him in front of Jesus. One of my favorite stories, accounts, if you will, in Scripture that I share quite often with people in the hospital. Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And the scribes, who were sitting right there in front of Jesus, questioned in their hearts how he could talk like that, accusing him of blasphemy, putting forth that only God could forgive sins. What I love about that text is that Jesus showed his divine omniscience, that he was God by perceiving in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. They were indeed in need of a change in heart as their hearts were misplaced. Though watching closely, they had lost sight of what was important. What was important and significant about Jesus, and their sight was blinded by what they considered most important rather than understanding what was important in God's sight. The washing of one's hands in this case may be very superficial because Jesus makes it known that it is a matter of the heart. Jesus seeks to put the scribes and Pharisees in their place by quoting the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, teaching them something about true cleanliness and something about the reason, the very reason for his coming. Jesus said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Let me read that again. "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." We may make the same mistake they were making if we miss the very important way Jesus introduces this quote from Isaiah. "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you? Jesus says, right after this, Jesus will speak of the commandments God gave through Moses and how these ancient words of God should be shaping the lives, thoughts, and hearts of his hearers. The Pharisees are more concerned about whether people's hands are cleaned than whether their bodies have been cleansed of disease by the words of Jesus, and whether their hearts have been filled with the peace that Jesus came to bring and is proclaiming in their presence, the forgiveness of sins. That is exactly what happens when we stop asking what is important to God, when we only consider what is important for me, myself, and I, what is important for us, and hear only what we want to hear, so that we might therefore excuse the rest as maybe applying to someone else, but not to me. Hypocrite is a term that refers to one who hides behind a mask. The term comes from the theater. In our way of thinking, it means that we profess to be one thing, but then live counter to that. Some people won't have anything to do with the church because they think we're all a bunch of hypocrites. There may be some truth in that, that what we confess with our mouths, we don't live in our lives. What we confess here on Sunday morning, we don't walk out of here with, but we confess that we are sinners who have been redeemed and forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lip service has similar implications. You say one thing, but you mean another. Did you know that the expression lip service was inspired by this passage in the Gospels and by the passage from Isaiah that Jesus is quoting? How do you feel when someone tells you one thing and it becomes obvious that they mean just the opposite? The Lord's words, both in Isaiah and in Mark, may suggest another image for us to consider as it relates to hearts that are far from me. That our hearts are not the home for his spirit, but are far from him. It is characterized best when we consider how the disciple Judas greeted Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he led out the court guard to arrest Jesus. It was not a kiss of peace, but a betrayal Judas gave to Jesus. But we must also understand that sometimes we betray him as well, because our hearts are far from him. If the words of the prophet Isaiah are also prophesied about us, and if we allow Jesus' warning to speak to us, we too need to examine our hearts, our lips, our heads, and hands to see how we're doing. How have we lost sight of what is truly important? Or have we? What traditions of men or what traditions of our own making have we allowed to crowd out God's word from its proper place if we understand that the word demands our total obedience, even if we also understand that the word gives what it demands? In what ways have we ceased to care about the hearts of those around us and taken instead to examining the cleanliness of their hands? The misdirection and misunderstanding of the Pharisees' approach is shown in the behavior that results as Jesus points out to us this morning, replacing God's word with man's, listening to human traditions and reasoning that elevates them over God's word, finds one living only for self, one justifying self, excusing self, hiding behind a mask. From our text, Jesus uses the commandment about honoring father and mother to show how the Pharisees have put a tradition they callously developed over the heart and over the very spirit of God's commandment to honor those who gave us life. You could have done it, or Jesus could have done it with any of the commandments, but he did it in Mark's account with this commandment, the fourth, as we number them. They had exchanged gratitude, honor, obedience, and love toward those responsible for giving life and supporting them in life in order to be free from the burden of caring for their parents, and therefore they think only of themselves. Where is the heart in this scenario? Consider how we might embrace the law of the land to override the very heart and spirit of God's will for our lives as it relates to our relationship with Him and with one another. It is and always will be a matter of the heart. Human traditions may set standards for outward cleanness, and human reason may give understanding or help us make things understandable as best we can. But they can never make us clean within. They can never renew us. They can never make us right with God. Jesus exposes the Pharisees' uncleanness and our uncleanness because he wants to make them and he wants to make us clean. God's law exposes those things in our heart which separate us from him and separate us from one another. The very word of God that exposes us also cleanses us. God's word, connected with simple water, grants us forgiveness of sins. It regenerates us. It's life-giving, life-sustaining, and thereby creates in us clean hearts as we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Daily we are called to remember that we are baptized, that the Lord has washed us clean in this lavish washing away of sin. Daily, through contrition and repentance, we are called to drown the old Adam in us and then cling to the second Adam, who is Jesus Christ, into whose suffering, death, and resurrection we were baptized. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He declares us clean. He absolves us, forgiven in the name of the triune God in which we were baptized. His very body and blood, which we will receive momentarily, given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins, gives us just that, strengthening and preserving us steadfast in heart, soul, and mind in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen. May this peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may it guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.